In my car, there is a on the dashboard a little indicator that tells me how much fuel I have in my car. And next to that indicator is a little warning light. Now, I think that this little indicator says different things to different people. I think you think that too. When I see this warning light come in my car, you know what I think? I got a good 40, 50 Ks left in this. And you know, it's only failed me twice. But that's what I think. I think I've got it. I can go further. I can push it to the limit. I can try and measure how many kilometers I can get out of this last drops in my fuel tank. Then there are other people who, got to double in, my wife, for example. She will look at the fuel indicator like this, and she will think, I might need to fill up the car. I'm going to get in trouble for this later. We can look at the same thing in the car, and we both read it very differently. Now, hands up if you are much more like me, and you're the one who's going to stretch it, and you don't really care about the warning lights at all. Who's that? There's a few of us. We can share disaster stories later. Who is much more at the other end that I'm going to fill up even if there's just a slight bit of fuel used? A few too. Hands up if you are just a normal person who fills up at the right time. There's a few of them. Isn't it funny that the same piece of information can mean something very different to different people? And therefore, how we act on that information can change very drastically. Friends, that's exactly what the passage we read in Luke 8 is all about this morning. That we can hear the same message, and yet we can respond very differently from the person who's standing right next to us. Hear the same words and do something very different about it. I think the key verse for us to know as we reflect on this whole passage this morning comes in the end of verse 8. Have a look with me in Luke 8, the end of verse 8. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." She who has ears to hear, let her hear. This will unlock this whole passage for us. This is a passage all about listening, about how we use our ears. And we ought to work hard to hear what Jesus has to say. Because really, what this is all telling us is that there is a way to listen to Jesus that is ineffective. There's a way to read your Bible that is very ineffective. There's a way to sit and study the Bible in a community group as part of our church that is really ineffective. There is a way to listen to a sermon that is really ineffective. So how do we get these ears? How do we listen in a way that is effective? What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, that is what our passage is helping us think through this morning. Before we get to the details of the particular story Jesus tells, you might have noticed as Mary read it for us, there's something really strange in the middle of this story. Jesus tells a parable, he explains a parable, but right in the middle he says something really odd to his disciples. Did you see it? Verses 9 and 10. When his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that, seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand." Why does Jesus speak in parables? Why does he give us this parable of the sower, as we know it? Well, part of this is helping us see that people understand messages very differently. For example, there are two types of people in this world: those that finish lists. See how long the penny takes to drop. I hope we all got it now. How about this one? There are 10 types of people in the world, those who understand binary and those who don't. Hands up if you get this one. Who's scratching their head going, what on earth is binary? And who's really bad at maths? I'm not going to explain it to you. If you have ears, you can hear. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of sitting down with someone in a different generation to you. If you're an adult sitting with a child or someone much older than you, and you watch something like The Simpsons, or maybe one of the many great kids' movies that are out these days that do a similar thing, when you sit and watch The Simpsons with a child and you're an adult, you will notice very clearly that the child laughs at things that you just think are pretty silly. But then you will find something absolutely hilarious and the child didn't even know there was a joke there. Ever had that experience? Where the same thing is being said, but yet two different people hear it very differently. But one of them, straight over the head. And the other loves the layers of humor and detail in the joke. Happens all the time in great shows and great movies. And Jesus is saying, that's kind of what is happening here. As I speak in parables, people will hear the same things but respond very differently. In verse 10, Jesus quotes from a chapter in the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah is one of the great prophets of Israel. This is about 700 BC, thereabouts, that this is happening. Isaiah chapter 6 is where Isaiah is commissioned to be God's messenger, God's speaker to Israel. And in Isaiah chapter 6, God says to Isaiah, you go and tell my people Israel that I am going to judge them for their sin. Not a very happy message. By the way, they won't listen to you. Go and tell my people that they will be judged for their sin. By the way, Isaiah, when you go and tell them, they're not going to listen to you. Like, what? Why would I go and tell them something they're not going to listen to? And God says, you tell them and they will reject you just like they rejected me time and time and time again. And that's exactly what happens when you read through the book of Isaiah. Isaiah goes to Israel. He tells people the warning of God's judgment, calls them to repent, and they ignore him. They don't listen. So what does Isaiah do? He goes, I really need them to understand God's message. And so he makes it really simple for them. He makes it as easy as possible for them to understand. And what do the people do? They mock him for it. Here's one of the examples we see in how people respond to Isaiah trying to make the message really simple. Isaiah 28, this is how they mock him. They say, who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk? To those just taken from the breast? For it's do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. A little here, a little there. Isaiah tries to make his message so simple that they could understand. And they mock him and say, Isaiah, it's like you're talking to a baby. Who do you think we are? And so they ignore him. Just as they ignored him all the times before. And so when Jesus quotes Isaiah here in Luke 8, he's being very deliberate because what Isaiah does and what happens when Isaiah brings God's message is exactly what happens to Jesus. When he brings God's message, they reject him like they rejected Isaiah. And so Jesus will make it very simple for his listeners. He tells parables. He talks about farming, which is something they all would have known about. He makes it really, really simple, and they still do not listen. And parables are those stories Jesus tells where there is one very simple message, and there are different ways to hear it. That's exactly what this parable is about this morning. that you can hear what Jesus says in this parable and you receive hope and life and joy, clarity and wisdom. Or you can hear the same words Jesus says and they can give you none of those things. There are different ways to hear what Jesus says, even as he makes it simple in parables. And that's what this parable is about. This parable suggests there are four ways to listen, maybe more. It's often known as the parable of the sower. I think it's probably an unhelpful term. It's much more clearly, it's the parable of the four soils. They are the point that we are to see here. And it's really great that when Jesus is talking about listening and understanding and giving a parable about listening and understanding, it's great that he also gives us the explanation of the parable. Often Jesus tells a parable, but he doesn't explain it. He leaves it for his listeners to hear and to think about it. But in one that's really important for hearing and listening, he tells us what it means. Have a look with me from verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. It's not about people who might or might not hear. You notice in the parable, all four soils hear the word. This is not a parable for people who are out there and don't know. This is a people who are in here. This is a parable for people who do hear God speak. So how do we listen? Well, the first soil, verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. This is a reminder that this is a spiritual battle. To listen to Jesus is a spiritual battle. But we are not helpless in this task. Have a look down to verse 18. Jesus says, take care then how you hear. Take care how you hear, because there is something you can do. We are not helpless in this situation. The second soil in verse 13, we're told, the ones on the rock are like those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And the third soil in verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. You notice the plants in both of these two soils, they look good for a time. They fit in and look just like the healthy plant. They receive the word with joy. They may even produce some fruit, but the fruit does not mature, or there are no deep roots into the ground. These are, I think, the two most dangerous soils because they involve deception. You may be deceiving others by the way that you live and listen, that you look healthy, that you look like the fourth kind of plant in this story. You may even be deceiving yourself, that you think you've got the roots, that you're producing the fruit, but they're not really there, or it does not last. Friends, I'm under no illusion that in a gathering here this morning with this many people, there will probably be people who are all of these kinds of soil. There will be people in each of these groups. Some of you are one of these dangerous soils. You lack the depth of roots in Jesus, but you don't really mind that you lack them. Or you are distracted. Or you're not very good at hiding, that you don't really treasure Jesus as much as other things. Now, I'm not telling you to get good at hiding that. Not what I'm saying. Learn to see that Jesus is a greater treasure. We're all going to struggle with that, okay? But as we listen to Jesus over and over again and allow that to take a deep place in our hearts, it will grow roots and will produce fruit. And we will be like the fourth soil. Verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the only way to listen to Jesus effectively. It's the only one. You hold it close to your heart. You persevere with patience. And you produce fruit. Dear friends, following Jesus is not a one-off decision that you made sometime in the past. Following Jesus is a lifetime of making the same decision day by day by day. Following Jesus is about daily deciding that I will hold fast to God's word today. Following Jesus is a daily decision to pursue an honest and good heart and to cultivate fruit in your life. It is every day deciding to listen to Jesus well and to be patient, because it's a lifetime of growing and listening and learning. Now, what does it exactly mean to be people who produce fruit like this fourth soil? What does it mean to produce fruit? Well, that's kind of what the next parable answers for us. In verse 16, Jesus starts talking about light. And he does a number of times through the Gospels, kind of compares fruit and light together. Here's what he says, verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made and not be known and come to light. And then verse 18, where it's kind of the summary of both of these parables. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. What does that mean? The one who has is the one who has ears to hear. From verse 8. It's the one who is the fourth soil who hears and produces fruit with patience. And to the one who has ears to hear, more will be given. More what? More understanding. More knowledge about God and his plans and purposes in the world. More understanding about God's plans and desire and design for your life. To the one who has ears to hear, more understanding will be given. And this will be the fruit. You will know and grow and learn, and you will live that out in your life. And you will live more and more the way that God designed you to live. Effective listening results in understanding the truth that Jesus speaks about. What about the one who has not? This is the one who has no ears to hear. Well, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. This really is just a picture of the first three soils. That whatever you think you have grasped as one of those soils, whatever joy you might have received initially, whatever immature fruit you might have produced, it will disappear. And you will find that you have even less than you thought you had. It will not last. So, take care then how you hear. Take care how you hear. There is a way that is effective for listening to Jesus. And anyone can do it. That's why we're encouraged. Take care how you hear. Because when you take care how you hear, there are great consequences for you. You will discover the wonderful joy that Jesus is. The wonderful joy to know his way of life and to walk in that. But you know, when you listen well, the benefits are not just for you. There are also great consequences for those around you, for those in your circles in life, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your church. Because how you listen affects those people. That's what the whole light metaphor is all about. Verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. That is, you can show the truth of Jesus in your fruit as a light to the world, as an example to others, to say, I have listened to Jesus and it has changed my life. Come and hear these wonderful words of life. As you listen to Jesus, you are compelled to call others to hear this wonderful life-giving news. Effective listening to Jesus, it benefits far more than just you. It can be a wonderful blessing to all those who are around you. Luke finishes this passage we read by making it really simple for us. In case we missed it in the first parable, in case we missed it in the second parable, he makes it really plain in verses 19 to 21. Then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And Jesus was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Those who hear the word of God and do it. Did you know that you could become Jesus' mother? That's what he says. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That is, Jesus is saying, when we listen to him, when we hear and put it into practice, we are joining into Jesus' family. Like his mother and brothers. We belong to Jesus and he belongs to us. Those who belong to Jesus hear his words and they do it. So what next for you and for me? Well, it's a parable. There's four soils. Which soil do you most feel that you are like? I want to suggest to you, I don't think that you are one soil all the time. Every time you listen to God's word, consider what soil you are in that moment. Are you a soil that is ready to hear, ready to take in and grow? How often do you listen to Jesus? And you will never experience the wonder and joy that is on offer for you if you don't listen to Jesus any more than your non-Christian friends or family. You can't be a person shaped by Jesus if you don't listen to his word to let that shape you. How do you prepare to hear God speak on a Sunday morning? What does it mean for you to be physically ready to engage with God in his word as we gather together as his people? How do you do that physically? How do you prepare spiritually? Do you pray that you might hear him as you come to church? Do you pray for me and for Robbie as we seek to proclaim his word truthfully and faithfully? How do you prepare mentally to come to church, to engage, to be challenged, to be encouraged? What does it look like for you to prepare to come to listen to God on a Sunday morning and in any occasion? As you sit and read a good Christian book, listen to a podcast, as you meet with and encourage a brother or sister in Christ and they speak words of truth and life into your life, where they rebuke you for your sin or hold you accountable, or they encourage you not to make that unwise decision. Are you ready and prepared to listen to Jesus? I want to encourage you. I've got a vested interest in this. This is a wonderful little book called Listen Up by Christopher Ashe. It's called A Practical Guide to Listening to Sermons. Vested interest. If you have never thought about how you prepare to listen to God speak at church, this is a wonderful tool and resource. Let me encourage you to read it. You're more than welcome to borrow my copy. Friends, when I look at my dashboard in my car, I see this warning light. And it means I sometimes do things that are not quite the right response. And it's got me into trouble a few times. When we listen to Jesus, there are right ways to listen and there are wrong ways to listen. There are right responses to that message and there are wrong responses to that message. Friends, will you have ears to hear Jesus speak? Will you hear his words of life? Will you hear, listen, and obey? Because friends, Jesus is God's King, and he is a King well worth listening to. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you do have the words of eternal life. Thank you that in the Bible we can hear you speak to us. Thank you that we can gather together and do that here at church, that we can do it at home by ourselves, in community groups, in all kinds of places. God, please, for every one of us here, give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear, to hold fast to that word. Give us an honest and good heart. Give us patience to bear fruit. Amen.